you, singers. Thank you so much. Sound booth in the back. Let's go ahead and get in sync and on sync on the same page. Amen. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. Verse 27 says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, three sons. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died. I want to say Haran because that sounds like something else. Let me start over again. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, or Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son, Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldees, that's where they were living, to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. The title of this morning's message is A Flawed, Faithful Father. A flawed, faithful father. God, help us now. May us not only be hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Picture an old man with three sons in a foreign land that is in his final years of life. There's little known about him other than he is both a single father and widow with a small family. So as the patriarch, he senses that he must give those around him a final push towards the promised land called Canaan. What pushes him to make such a move is a bit of a mystery, because at first he was not known to be a follower of God, and I'm speaking specifically of Terah. For the people in Ur actually worshipped the moon. Perhaps it was his old age or the death of his son, Nahor, along with the barrenness of his daughter, Sarai, daughter-in-law Sarai, to be specific, that was a catalyst for his decision, because he saw that his bloodline was hanging on by a thread, and he was at least wanted to get them out of the neighborhood to be at a better place. As they were making their journey towards the promise, they settled in Haran, named after one of his remaining sons who soon died. Figuring that the journey, while in well-intentioned, was too much to handle at this season in his life, Terah, the father of Abraham, Haran, as well as Nahor, all stayed in that same place for years until one day Abram heard these words upon the death of his father, Terah. In Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 5, you'll see the response. While this family was in Haran, as the patriarch of all of them, Terah passed away. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 5 says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. This is the backstory to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's how he got the title, the father of many nations. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. These were the indentured servants that was along with them, a normal practice during ancient days. And so as a result, they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. In these verses of scriptures, you see a picture of a once lofty patriarch, Terah, who was actually the father of Abraham. Abram, specifically in this moment in time. Terah was not a godly man, but yet something in him moved within his spirit that it was time to get out of Ur. Ur and the people of Ur, or Ur of the Chaldees, they actually worshiped the moon, which is how the Islamic people got the crescent as their specific insignia for their religion. And so as a result of them worshiping the moon, God then told this patriarch, this man that was not well known, to take him as well as his three sons and two daughter-in-laws and leave that particular place because he had something better for them. This man, Terah, did not get a chance to live in order to see the promise. It's almost like an old man that's getting ready to give out his last effort of blessings just to try to push his family over the top as the patriarch, as Big Pop of the actual family. Imagine a person that's 70 or 80 years old and he has $10,000 in the bank that is his life savings, but because he wants his grandchildren to go to college, he now makes a full withdrawal on his deathbed and then gives everything that he got just so that they could have a better life. If you understand that scenario, then you understand what Terah actually did. Sadly, as a result, he settled. He probably figured to himself that he's in a season where he can't really make it to the promise, but at least I want to start the journey. It was probably very major for him to leave a place that he was there for decades upon decades to raise all of these particular kids, and now God prompts him to move from out of this particular place only to settle in Haran. This is a father, this is a patriarch that gave the best that he got, even under dire circumstances, which is losing a child. So what does this mean to us? Number one, this particular father gives us a couple of different lessons. Number one, a father listens to God and follows through. God prompted this man who didn't even know him to get from out of this place where they worship the moon. He told him to move forward. Also, a father has vision for the family. God showed Terah the vision that he wanted this particular family to actually go to the land of Canaan, the promised land, even though he could not make it there himself. Very similar to the patriarch Moses. Also, a father has a vision for the family. This vision, once again, is something that God shows you clearly, but you're not there yet. I have a vision for my family that has not come to pass. It is a work in progress. Also, a father's responsibilities go beyond his household. Did you see the latter part of that verse? In verse 5, it specifically says that then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and watch this, here's the note, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. So Abraham was not only responsible for his immediate family, his responsibilities actually went beyond his family. This is very important for you to be able to understand that a true father doesn't just look after his and his own or me and mine only. A true father actually takes care of people outside of his immediate circle to go beyond his household. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6 through 7 says, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. This theophany, if you will, was the Lord Jesus Christ himself as presented in the Old Testament. Why do I know that it's Jesus? Not only do you see the capital letters, which is the literary way of displaying this, but you also know this because angels are not to be worshipped. And angels are there to basically give in direction. But this right here, an angel cannot give a promise. He can only share a promise. An angel cannot establish a covenant. He can only point you to an established covenant by God. So this Christophany, or this theophany, if you will, as presented, this Christophany, if you will, of Jesus in his glorified body appears before Abram and begins to tell him the good news. He also tells him that you don't need to go into Canaan just yet, because your descendants are actually going to have to fight tooth and nail in order to acquire this land. But what I'm doing with you, my friend, is I'm planting a seed for the future. What is the lesson here? Well, God will show you as a father the end result before the journey starts. Then, watch this, then he grooms you as you move forward. Here's the picture of what I want my family to look like. This is where we want to stay. This is where we want to go. This is the type of schools that we want them to go to. This is the type of man and woman that I want to raise you up to be. And even if you do not have children, these are the spiritual children that I have under my tutelage. And this is how I want you to emulate the image and likeness of God as you move forward. And then the process starts. God doesn't show you a vision and then, whoop, there it is. It's now manifested before your face. No, oftentimes God shows you a vision of where he wants you to go, and then he pushes you in the direction where you need to be. So God will show you, as a father, the end result before the journey starts. Then he grooms you as you move forward. The reason why this message is not only just for the men and the fathers that are in this place or fathers-to-be, this is also for the ladies in this place that are not married as of yet, so that you can identify the proper characteristics of a man that you will be with and bear children with. The scripture also lets us know that there will be hardships, financial hardships. Abram, after the death of his father, begins to proceed forward, begins to move forward to the glory of God within this promise with not very much direction. God gives him a specific direction to go south. What he encounters along that way is what he encounters along that way. In other words, the specifics are omitted. But along this particular journey to the promise, Abraham begins to encounter specific types of things. Number one, a famine in Egypt, which is widespread. Kind of like what is going on today, where we have this widespread economic issue as a result of the pandemic earlier this year, with all these millions of people that are filing jobless claims and unemployment, and hours have been cut back, and now things are trying to bounce back, but not as fast. And as soon as we think we made a couple of steps forward, we now have to put on our masks and now have to take a couple of steps back. So as a man, as a father, there will be financial hardships that you will have to navigate. Not only that, there will also be times when you will have to hustle to survive. What do you mean by this? Did you know that Abraham, while he was actually talking with Sarai at that moment in time, he actually had a side conversation with her as he started to come towards these Egyptians that were now looking for ways to try to sustain their land, even if it meant killing the father and then taking the wives so that he could start spreading and conquering more kingdoms. So as Sarai was told by Abraham was this. Abraham told Sarai, hey, I want you to pose as my sister as we encounter this king of Egypt, this Pharaoh. Because if you don't do that, he will kill me and then take you to be his own, thus extinguishing the progress towards the promise. So sometimes you got to hustle. Sometimes you have to do things that are out of the ordinary in order to survive and make it. Not only that, you'll also notice that sometimes as a father, there will be relatives that will give you headaches, but you still have to and sometimes want to take care of them. Prove this, Pastor Barton. Well, Lot was actually the nephew of Abram or Abraham. Lot wanted to make his own way. He was hard-headed. He was probably a situation or a specific child that was probably disgruntled because his own father was passed away and taken from him. Sometimes there are always going to be specific types of issues that arise sometimes when a person's father has now been taken from them or no longer present. This is very important for us to understand that fathers are normal and they are natural and they are an integral part of the actual family. All right? Okay. So Lot wanted to do his own thing. He was belligerent. He was hard-headed. He was aggressive. And he wanted to do exactly what he wanted to do. He then, watch this, left for Sodom and Gomorrah. We've heard about these two particular cities for many different years. And they were filled with all manner of sin. But that is exactly where he wanted to go, because he figured when he talked to Abram, he was like, Abram, you're not my daddy. My daddy is dead and gone. Haran is dead and gone. You can't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so Abram allowed for him to actually leave. But as a result of him leaving, guess what ended up happening? Lot got into a whole lot of trouble. It's like you having a niece or a nephew that needs to be bailed out of jail after the fifth time. But because you're the upstanding one in the family, now you have to go and you got to drive down there because your mom has now told you, please help your nephew. His mom and dad are now dead, or his mom and dad are now on drugs, and he has no one else to look up to, and you're the only one in the family that can take care of these situations. So there are also going to be times when you have to take care of people that are not a part of your immediate circle. There will also be times when you will have to pull resources together and fight for your family. What do you mean by pulling resources together? He had to do a couple of things, and you'll see it inside of Genesis chapter 14, verses 14 through 16. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Why? Because there were five kings that actually began to assault the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same land that Lot was a part of that he left for as a result. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women, watch this, and the people. As a father, there will be times when you will have to say no when the offer looks good also because God did not approve. So in this first example, once again, there will be times when you will have to pull resources together and fight for your family. And that's what Abraham did in the first example, where there was all these 300 servants that were well-trained. It's like all of us getting together as a church family in order to help one of our downtrodden brothers and sisters in order to pay the rent or in order for them to be visited inside of the hospital. We have to pull resources together. There's been many times we have to pull resources together in order to allow for this church to survive. As well as also to be able to save my own family. So as a father, sometimes you have to be creative, especially when your family is being attacked on all sides. It's important. And as a father, there will be, once again, times when you will have to say no when the offer looks good because God did not approve. Prove it to me, Pastor Martin. Well, in Genesis chapter 14, verses 21 through 23, it says the following. And it says, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. In other words, he was a self-made man. It was him and God and his family. And so you had this wicked king of Sodom that once was ravaging the entire nation, was actually conquered. And as a result, he's now comes to Abram and be like, okay, well, I'm so thankful that you spoke to us and helped mediate peace. Why don't you take a couple of things? But he knew that Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked places, and he did not want to have any part of it, even though his family would have been in a better status. So sometimes you have to say no to the job that you think is a good one, the open opportunity that you think might be a great one, but in the end, the devil has actually put a carrot in front of your face in order to bring you down. Not everything looks good, and it is from God. As a father, there will be times when you will make grave mistakes, as Ishmael. In other words, we start birthing Ishmaels into the actual atmosphere. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 through 2 says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Oh, goodness. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children." She becomes desperate. "Please go into my maid. Oh, my goodness. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her, by proxy." In other words, this is an Old Testament surrogate mother. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Now, how many of you would like an opportunity like that? If you're listening, you should have said amen. You would like to have that opportunity. "Well, baby, I can't give you the kids that you want to have. I can't quite take care of you. But let me go ahead and hook you up with sister girl so we can start having kids together." And Abraham, with his crazy self, follows along with the idea. He should have said no. But the wife also should have been patient, because they actually heard the promise from God saying, "Hey, guess what? You shall be the father of many nations, and you shall have many descendants. Did you forget what I told you? Or is it because you're in desperate times, do you have to now start going to desperate measures?" The truth is that Sarai was being a little bit thirsty. Desperate is the proper term for being thirsty. And when you start looking real thirsty and desperate, then anything that comes your way, you'll begin to jump at it or let it holler at you. And as a result, he birthed the Ishmael, the father to the Muslim nations. And ever since that point, the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Abraham have been, and the sons of Isaac have been warring with each other, the children of Israel and the children of the moon. You don't want to birth the Ishmael. You don't want to jump the gun. You don't want to go ahead and hook up with something that God told you not to do. But you're trying to save face, or you're trying to have nice faces on Facebook. But things are not cool. Wait on the Lord. I say wait. So there will be times when you'll make grave mistakes. It will happen. He made mistake number one by being desperate and allowing for his wife to lead at a time when she was most vulnerable. He should have been a man and stood up and said, "No, I'm going to wait on the promise." But then Ishmael is brought forth. He now has a baby mama situation with Hagar. There's a lot of tension that's going on in the household. And then God talks to Abraham, and he says to Abram, "Hey, if you want this tension to actually stop in this particular household, then I want you to actually take Hagar and tell her that she needs to go ahead and leave the household." This is also a quick little story of husbands. They may have a child outside of their family, and you're still dealing with the baby mom. You can't keep everything cool in one house, because there can only be two queens in the house at the same time. So Abraham was actually told by God to take the woman that is not your wife and put her away. That may seem like it's insensitive, but God said that he would actually take care of her and assign an angel to Hagar as well as Ishmael as they go out into a desert and they begin to become a flourishing nation as you see today. When you look at Dubai and you see those skyscrapers that go all the way up to the ceiling, those are actually the descendants of Ishmael. It looks like they were all right. But not only that, as a father, you will also experience God's mercy, because he keeps his promise. You see, what ended up happening was is that at this moment in time, I need somebody to go ahead and take the kids out into the lobby just for a moment. Just for a moment. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You as a father will also begin to experience God's mercy, because he keeps his promise. You see, in this particular situation, there was a situation right here to where Abram was kind of thrown off a little bit. And he probably figured that, hey, because of Ishmael, because of this specific situation, that guess what? I messed up the promise. Things began to happen. Things didn't work out. And now I'm dead in the water. But because God is merciful, even in the midst of your mistakes, he will still help you, because he made a promise. Even if you messed up, that promise will still come to pass. And so 14 years later, here is the birth of Isaac, the son of promise, the one that Sarai never thought that she could have, the one that Sarai actually laughed at. "I can't even believe that God would even bless this old womb with this old man. He can't get up and I can't get down." So how in the world you got that? Okay, you got that. He can't get up and she can't get down. So God transforms this very tumultuous situation, and then he begins to work a miracle. He allows for Sarai to birth a seed well in her advanced age. And so even if you mess up as a man, even if you are not the best of fathers and you don't get all the accolades and the like, and you're not widely celebrated, trust me, God will still be merciful to you even in the midst of your mistakes. For every Ishmael, there is an Isaac as long as you continue to follow God. Did you know that as a father, you will make sacrifices? Isaac, the very one that God actually blessed Abraham and Sarah with, was a sacrificial lamb as a symbol and type of Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb for all of mankind. Can you picture that Abraham is told by God, I want you to take Isaac, get a bunch of bramble bushes together, and I want you to go to this particular hill, and I want you to kill him as a sacrificial offering to me. I could pretty much imagine how Abraham felt. This young man was a blessing. This young man was favorable to me. This is my only begotten son. And now, God, you want me to sacrifice him? Now, God, you want me to tell him to die at my own hand? Not only that, you want me to lure him into the situation almost as a lamb being led to slaughter. I hope you see the parallel here. And so as they begin to go up the hill, just like Jesus went up the hill, Abraham now tells the son to lay down on the bramble bush with all of the different sticks that are round about him, pulls out a flint knife. The son does not move. He just says, okay, Father, why are you doing this? But nevertheless, I'm going to stay still and I'm going to pause. And so there's trust by the son and trust by the father. And as soon as Abraham gets ready to take that knife down and puncture the skin of his only begotten son, God says, wait up a minute. Hold up. Hey, there's a ram in the bushes over there. Somebody got that. There's a ram in the bush. Take that ram and bring it here as a substitutionary atonement towards me. See, as Isaac represents, in many essences, Jesus Christ making an atonement for our sin, but then there's a scapegoat, that ram in the bush. God will oftentimes come in at the last minute. So men, fathers, oftentimes this very thing that you asked and you prayed God for, oftentimes that's where most of your persecution will come from. You prayed for her, you prayed for them, you prayed for that job. You got to keep God first in order to keep all of those things working together. It will be a challenge. Sacrifice. Did you also know, as I begin to close, that you will have to navigate through a time of crisis? Abraham had to navigate his family through the entire onslaught and judgment of God. It was almost like it was a worldwide pandemic that was going on. God begins to talk to Abraham and says, can I find 50 righteous men in this particular city? Can I find 25? How about 25? How about 10? No 10? How about 5? How about 5? Can I find just one righteous man? And Abraham begins to talk to God and says, don't destroy this land. I'm here. I'm praying for these people. And he says, well, I'll withhold my judgment for the moment in time. I know there's a lot of sin in this land. I'm going to still clean it up anyway. And that's another note to a father. You can be merciful with your children, but you can't let them get away with everything. Sometimes you still have to execute judgment or delay it. I won't get you as soon as I get home. I'm going to think about it, and then I'm going to get you before you go to bed. But you're still going to get it because you have to know right from wrong. And that's the same thing that God did with Abraham. He began to bargain with Abraham, and what Abraham was doing is that he was buying the children of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people there, as wicked as they were, more time so that those people could actually leave the city. So Abraham then takes up Lot and his family with his hard head itself, takes Sarai and all the crew and Isaac and all the crew and Lot's wife, who was actually a part of that specific nation. And that's why, men, we have to be careful. We thought that we could only pay attention to our daughters and as far as who the actual person that they will marry. And we have a good little screening process as far as the men are concerned that will date our daughters, but this is also letting us know that, hey, we also have to watch our sons and who they will marry. Because a lot of the drama that comes into a lot of our sons' lives can be avoided if we are involved. So you will have to navigate through times of crisis. Can you imagine being a father during a pandemic? When hours are being cut back? Can you imagine being a father right now that has to look at your sons and daughters and say, hey, you have to act this way and not do this when you get pulled over? It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of issues. It's a lot of circumstances. It's a lot of financial hills and valleys, but you can still make it and you can still move forward. So as I conclude, come on, Al. I'm already done. I'll try to buy some time as they get ready to move forward. As a father, and as I summarize, God has designed you to listen to God, to have a vision for the family, to understand your responsibilities, not only to your household, but that your responsibilities go beyond your own household. You don't need to let things just go wild around you. You must say something, and you must do something. You must speak truth to power. You also need to understand that as a father, there will be financial hardships. Very rarely will you keep the same job throughout your entire marriage. Sometimes there are changes, and you have to be able to accommodate those changes. There will also be times when you're going to have to hustle. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. Hustle man. Just to survive. If you get laid off, that doesn't mean that you could just have to just stay confined at the house. Or you think to yourself, these jobs are beneath me. No. If you got to mow lawns, if you got to get out there to make ends meet, to go to those payday type of jobs where you work today, get paid today, labor ready in order for the family to survive, and you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're not even promised a job for that day, you still need to do it anyway. There have been many times when I had to take jobs that were outside of my field just to keep food on the table, just to keep things moving forward. And even sometimes two jobs just to make ends meet until God blessed in the future. Hustle. Every man has to have some type of hustle inside of them. They cannot lay down and just curl over and pause. Sometimes you have to take care of those hard-headed nieces and nephews. Their daddy or mama might have been on crack or on drugs. So now you have become the father. And now you got to take care of everybody. But don't take care of people so much so until you sacrifice your own family. Because God never told you to sacrifice your own family. He said, take care of them first. And then if you have the ability, then you extend your help outside of yourself. So yeah, there'll be relatives that will have headaches. Nieces and nephews that will be acting all types of crazy. And now you have been dubbed as the patriarch, but you got to be able to last in order to be deemed as a patriarch. That means you got to live a lot of years. There will also be times when you have to pull resources together, fight for your family, also be able to say no to great opportunities because God did not approve. There will also be times when you have to go through a season of making several mistakes. Yes, you put the bed together wrong. Yes, you didn't know how to fix the car. Or even change a tire because daddy didn't even show you. Yes, you got to go to marriage counseling because you grew up in a toxic household where they yelled and fussed and fight with each other. Now you're with a different type of woman and they come from a different family altogether. Now you got to make adjustments to your personality so that you won't repeat the cycle of divorce and separation. You will experience God's mercy because if you repent and you try to learn during those seasons and times, God will allow for you to birth an Isaac, even though you have birthed many Ishmaels. There are seasons where you'll have to make sacrifices. As I told you guys earlier, women sacrifice their bodies in order to bring children into the world, and they go through a near-death experience anytime a child passes through their womb. But a man, he sacrifices for a lifetime, and so he dies daily until his legacy is realized. Both of them experience death, but also both of them can experience an abundant life. You will have to navigate through a time of crisis, pandemics, prejudice, pride, being ignored, not being able to process your emotions, having a parent die in your 50s and in your 40s, going through children and their own problems, splits, crisis. But God will still give you wisdom and know how to navigate those Sodom and Gomorrah type situations where there's sin all around you, but you still have to stay focused on God. And then finally, by God's grace, you will leave a legacy. This is so important. Let's look at Genesis 25, verse 7 through 11 verse. All these things that Abraham went through all came to a climax in these few verses as I close. Verse 7 says, "This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age." I don't want to die early. I want to die late. Take care of yourselves, men. Go to the doctor. Take a loved one to the doctor. Ladies that have men in their lives, mothers of their children, tell your husbands and significant others to take care of themselves because they are needed in this world. So once again, verse 8 repeating, "Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years," what a legacy, "and was gathered to his people." He was celebrated. "And his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field with Abraham, which Abraham purchased from his sons of Heth, from the sons of Heth. There Abraham was buried, and Sarah, his wife." What a great memorial. Abraham didn't say, "Hey, I'm great just by myself." No, I want you to know that I was married, even though I was a man that has flaws, even though I was a man that had issues, even though I was a man that had a baby mama, even though I was a man that made mistake after mistake, even though I was a man that I was getting ready to kill my own child, even though I was a man that had servants that went through a time of financial collapse and I still need to take care of them, even though as a man that had a crisis in faith within my own household, even as a man that cheated on my wife because I didn't even understand what day it was and the standards that I needed to have, as flawed as I am, I was still faithful to God. And I was able to move forward. And verse 11 says, and I close, "And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai Roi." I like that word, Roi. Because did you know inside of the secular world, ROI represents return on investment. So Isaac was his return on the investment that he made throughout that entire time, including the flaws that he had about himself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for these, your people. And Lord God, I pray for every father that's under the sound of my voice, that they are encouraged, that they are allowed to be able to move forward, that they will be able to hear you, Heavenly Father, even right now, in the name of Jesus. Let this not just be a day where they get a big piece of chicken and, you know, they're able to kick up their feet only, but let them understand that they have the tools necessary in order to be able to navigate the times and seasons that we are in. Let them know, Lord God, that as long as they follow you, there will be going in the right direction. We bless you now, and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So as I come on down here, in this truth minute, I just want to talk to the fathers that are out there just for a moment. Be encouraged. There's a lot that's going on. Be encouraged. I understand it may feel like the child support payments are piling high. But be encouraged. You may have a felony on your record. Be encouraged. You may be going through a separation or divorce. Be encouraged. You may not be able to process your emotions very well because you didn't grow up in a household where the men expressed their feelings. The only things that you saw was anger or a time to have sex. Be encouraged, because you can still have a spectrum of emotions so that you can show your children how to be emotionally stable even in volatile situations. Be encouraged. Today is Father's Day. You are a man, a father, flawed, but still faithful. God loves you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Amen. Amen. Be blessed, people of God. I love you. I honor you. And even if your father is not on this planet at this moment in time, still lift him up. And even if there were a man that was not in your eyes worthy of honor, still give honor to them for bringing you at least into this world. Because you didn't have to be here. Today is a mixed emotions type of day. All across the United States, it is a known fact that Father's Day is not as celebrated as Mother's Day. But for the fathers that are here, we celebrate you and we honor you. Because your children would not be able to come into this world if it were not for you. Amen. Amen. Can't you see, even as you look to the left and the right, the pandemic is not what thins out the seats. This is just a mixed emotion type day, letting us know that as much as we talk about fathers, this is the significant impact that they have, whether they are absent or present. They carry significant weight. And so for the ones that are doing right, you know who you are. You know who you are. Continue to do right and leave a legacy. Amen. 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 All hearts and minds clear. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. We're done. I tried to buy them some more time right next door. And so once again, happy Father's Day to you. God bless you. God keep you. We have a luncheon that's going to be going on next door. Let's stay in here at least for a couple of more minutes and fellowship with one another a couple of more minutes, and then we'll be able to move next door. All right? All right. God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. Now repeat after me. God wants your dreams and visions realized. Be blessed, people of God.